Welcome to Success Stories, brought to you by SNS Activewear. I'm your host, Marshall Atkinson, and this is the podcast that focuses on what's working so you can have success too. Occasionally in business, we have to take a leap of faith and trust that things will succeed. That's the background story with today's Success Stories podcast guest, Josh Wiley, with IGG Screen Printing and Graphics in El Reno, Oklahoma. It is a family business, and you'll learn all about how their dedication to doing things the right way has proved to be the winning ticket for their shop. So buckle up, sports fans. This one's going to be a lot of fun. So Josh, welcome to the Success Stories podcast.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and let me tell you, you have a reputation, your shop has a reputation of doing things the right way. And I know that you didn't just roll out of bed one day and knew how to do things. You guys have been working hard on that, right?
Yeah. As soon as I learned how to screen print, we really started seeking out the best information we could find. One of my first classes was Charlie at the SGI headquarters, and we literally bought roller frames while we were in the facility and had them delivered back to our shop before I could get back home. So Alan had me with S-mesh and roller frames before I ever left the SCI facility. So it was a high tension from there on out. We really just went from there on and really started following everybody I could find, reading everything I could get my hands on, making the best of friends with every mentor that would let me sit down and talk with them.
I love that action. You know, so many people, they talk up a good game, you know, and they're the Facebook warriors, right? And they're not like doing the things, don't you
think? Yeah, we have a lot of conversations on the trying to switch other shops to roller frames. And they're like, we just can't commit. But when you talk about the problems they're having, they would commit to roller frames, their problems would go away. They're really good printers. Their frames are just the problem.
Yeah. Well, it is screen printing.
Yes. Yeah. That's how we introduce everybody in the shop. Like, I know this room is not as much fun as the rest of them, but this is the most important room in the shop.
Yeah, right. All right, so we're going to probably get into more of that later. So let's start off with the first question here I have for you, which is really all about your business. So IGG is a family business. So I want to kind of just get the lay of the land, the origin story, right? So talk about the background and the company and maybe your customers a little bit and just kind of the general history of the shop and what you guys have been doing.
Yeah. So me and Vaughn got into doing embroidery and little heat press and sign jobs when we first started, and we came in to El Reno. We found out within the first 6-8 months that it was really weren't going to make a whole lot of money just doing embroidery and signs and heat press. So we got with GSG and bought a small sidewinder mixing kit and started getting after it and realized it wasn't for one person. It was really hard to manually screen print, you know, the standard garage setup. We were in a shop, an old mechanic shop that we had just crammed everything into, small Ecotex dryer as fast as it could run, you know, 500 shirts a day on a manual is really all one person can do. And the jobs really started stacking up and we were just doing as much as we could. At that time, I was still having a lot of surgeries from my accident. So I would print as long as I could. Then we would shut down for a couple months while I'd have a surgery. And while I was down, I would read and watch every video and do everything I could to learn to be a better printer. We got so busy. We were doing about $27,000 a year, 2 years in a row. And we just had no room to expand. We had just maxed that building out. And so Chris and Yvonne decided to sit down with GSG. And then we went ahead and I'd made friends with Lon. And we sat down and went over how a shop needed to be laid out and what it needed to be to grow, where we would like to be, where we would need to be to make money on that size of shop. And we kind of took a huge leap of faith between Chris, Yvonne, and Casey to invest in an auto, a dryer, and get it going. So we decided to make that side of the shop invest and take about a year to get that going. So we went ahead and bought a coder, an iImage, in the small shop and crammed it in the tightest hole you could get in. When the installer came in, he's like, "You sure we're in the right shop for a coder and an iImage?" And I was like, "Yeah, we're good, man. Come on in." So we figured out how to get all that going first, because if you can't feed the beast, there's really no reason in having a beast. So we got with it. I followed Mark Coudre around the country, show after show, begging to get into the Catalyst program. And he gave me a pretty good run around until he was like, "All right, I'm going to let you in. You won't leave me alone." So he let me in, and I just pretty much ate it up and spent every day I could at 5 a.m. doing his work first and then running the company in the afternoon. And we literally added $200,000 worth of business the first year we had an automatic press ready to go.
Right. So you went from 27,000 a year to over $250,000 a year. That's 10 times the growth in 1 year by focusing on the correct customers with the correct workflow processes.
Yes. Yes.
And the company is owned by your wife's parents, correct?
Chris and Yvonne. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Just want to let people know who Chris and Yvonne were.
Yeah.
And Casey's awesome too. She's wife.
Yeah.
Let's not let her out of the picture too, right? So
yeah. She runs the sales and sports side of the place. And if without her, I would have to deal with customers. And I don't do that much anymore unless I have to.
Right, right. Well, everybody, it's important, I think, here that everybody has their correct role.
Yes.
You know, because we can't all do it ourselves.
No.
And wouldn't you agree that a big problem we have, especially with startups, is that you have people wear so many hats, they can't get anything done. And then as soon as you start getting more people to focus on one direction, sales, production, you know, whatever, that's when you really take off, is because you can focus on one type of work and really make that the best. Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. Once you can really trust the person you're sending that workout to, frees you up, it frees your conscience up. You're not sitting there working on it in the back of your mind. You just send the work to that department, know it's getting done, and it's going to come out on time. It was really hard for me to step away. It's still hard for me to step away. I still have my fingers in a lot of things, and we're training as fast as possible to get me out. When I'm working on the business and not in the business, we do a ton better on our end of building out Printavo and building out automations, building out our contract work. Very, very big flow. I can fix bottlenecks that happen. I can fix production problems, and I'm not stuck, you know, in a department and have to tell them to wait until I get done with production in that department to go fix their problem. I'm free immediately to go fix those problems. That's our stagnant right now growth of where we're at. And this small family business is training everybody to take care of their own department. And that's our biggest hurdle as a small company, is right, each new department to handle something we used to do as a family.
Yeah. And so that first year of growth, when you got all the equipment and did all that miraculous stuff, how long ago was that?
That was in, 2018?
2018. So not too long ago. And where are you guys now?
Right now, we're probably going to do $900,000 to $1 million this year.
Okay. So you went from $27,000 a year to close to $1 million a year in about 5 years.
Yes.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So there's a lot of people out there listening right now. They would love that type of growth. So when you're growing like that rate, what are the landmines that have popped up for you that you wouldn't remotely considered?
Oh, the logistics of moving the garments through the shop, the receivables, controlling the KPI.
Ooh, cash flow. Speaking my language there, Josh. You guys. Yeah.
Learning the cash flow of how we've always ran a business of other, where Chris and Yvonne came from. Cash flow was never really a problem, but here your money's tied up. So when we moved to 100% cash up front, that helped our cash flow a lot. But we were sitting on big jobs. You know, when you see that, oh man, I got a $13,000 order, but they only made a $6,000 deposit and it takes them 2 months to come pay you for the rest of it. That's a lot of your profit tied up, because all you did was cover your consumables. So yeah, we made some really how to check stuff in, how to build out software to make it user-friendly for our whole shop, how to get the right amount of data coming in, ask enough questions from the customers As soon as you stop asking questions to the customer, you're going to make a mistake because you guess, you expect the art department to understand what you were thinking, the logistic sides of things that you don't see as you grow. Right. Night, a lot of long days, you're recovering the time frame to meet the deadlines. So it was a lot of 16-hour days, 14-hour days, and it's just a life of love that you know. Trust the process. You're headed down the right path. You've just got to fix the problems as you go.
Right. And let me tell you, now, this is an audio thing. I'm over here shaking my head up and down. Yes, everything you're saying. And I love it. You know, and so my focus and specialty has always been workflow, right? It's getting things through the pipe, you know, with as less friction as possible. And I think the thing that you've learned, right, and you've come to appreciate is that the preparation determines your outcome. So if you start off with really good information from the customer, right, because that's where it starts, yes, right? That order information, if it's correct, if it's timely, if you can get them to do that part, there are a lot of things downstream from that that seem to flow much easier and better. And if you can get 100% of the money up front, right, when you have no accounts receivables, you're in such a stronger financial position to do everything that you can run your business so much better with just those two things, better information and the money up front. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. It was really hard. It ruffles a lot of feathers up front. I would say in your first 90 days, you're going to get a lot of kickback from your customers. Oh, man, you need my money up front? Like, yeah, we've got to operate. We've got to pay for everything. It makes the customers come get their garments faster, so it's not taking up space on your production floor. On a shop with the growth that we had, space was our number one enemy immediately. Like, we built a huge shop thinking we were going to have all this room and room for days. When you start adding in tables and place for, 7,000 shirts, you don't have no room anymore. We underbuilt room-wise. We outgrew our screen room. We outgrew every room that was designed to the shop no longer does what it is. It got outgrown and we put something else in there because it needed to be bigger. And it was just amazing at everything you thought you were ready for and you weren't once it starts throwing down at you and seeing everything going on. And then the COVID years hit. And it changed everything for us. And we're just now getting back on our feet from that. But we're running full steam. And it seems like we're ever evolving. I think that's the hardest part of this industry. You can't just keep doing it like you always done. You've got to evolve consistently. And if you don't evolve, you're dead weight. And it seems like every 90 to 180 days, there's processes that used to be, I don't know, had to happen. Now that are obsolete because we've skipped a step, we've made it where that is no longer needed. And it was paperwork or it was handwritten. Now it's an automation in Printavo or it's a message that's automatically sent out now. And it's harder for us to keep consistently changing and do it the same. So we tried to slow down a little bit, but if we don't change and keep up, we seem to get behind. If the computer do the work for us, we need to let the computer do the work and let us be busy with something else.
Right. This is perfect segue into my next question, Josh. You ready?
Yes.
So you guys, like so many people out there, right, you continually want to learn and grow. You were just talking about that, right? So when you find that best practice, that software, you attend that class, you talk to Mark Coudray or me or anybody out there, right? And there's better information or there's a better tool out there, right? How are you actually injecting that into your business? And here's the thing, and not worrying about making that error, because if it doesn't work the first time, it's just not going to work. And you should like keep whacking at it until it actually works, because that's where you learn when you fail. So talk about how you find that piece of information and how you implement it and keep that going until it actually is successful. Maybe give us an example of something like that and show us how you did it.
So we'll do one with marketing and one with like on press.
Okay.
So on press, obviously things don't work out the first time ever. So I've got buddies across where GSG, one of my best friends is Mark Sadolik. and Steve Guthrie at GSG. They'll come into the shop and check it out, tell you what you're doing wrong. You shoot the ideas off of them. You print test screens, do your emulsion, measure it, put it down on press, print it. If it doesn't work, go adjust your settings, come back and do it again until you get what you're expecting on press. Then you document that information. That's how you use your separations. That's how you check your percentages. That's how you know what you're actually laying down on press. And that was so mundane to me and took so long. And I can see why shops ignore it. But it, once it's dialed in, you can almost set it and forget it. And then you set your SOPs on how your steps are done, however all your traps are done, how everything's chosen from there on out. And we did that work when we were young, and it has served us so well. We know what's happening. If something's wrong, we know exactly what to fix. We know where that was skipped in the process, and it's really easily divinable where we made the mistake. And documentation on that side is so necessary, it's not even funny. And the shops that don't document it, you cannot do it twice. So if you don't document why you made the mistake, how you made the mistake, where it cost you money, you're going to make the same mistake 20 times just because you're guessing every time. We guessed a lot when we were young, and then I met everybody that I need to meet, and we started documenting everything, going through the processes. And I mean, our printing changed within 90 days of how everything was going once we decided to put the work in.
And documenting, this is taking photographs, taking videos, creating a spreadsheet, creating like a recipe book for how you do things. Yes. Like you do all of that.
All of it. I have a binder that all my employees make fun of me about that we have recipes in and everything. We document everything that comes off the press and save it in production notes. So when we have repeat orders, we're famous for onion burgers in El Reno, and Sid's is one of the biggest ones. It's a 7-color back, and it needs to look the same every time because he's selling the shirt over and over again. And we have exactly how to set it up on press, the angles of the squeegees, the pressure, speeds, everything, off contacts across the board. You set it up just like it was last time, and it'll run exactly the way it was. We might have to adjust for the temperature in the shop for a winter or summer if it's moving speed-wise, but you can set it up and get it dialed in within the first turn.
Right. So, and you're using all the tools, Tri-Lock, right? You're measuring your ELM, you're measuring your screen tension, you're using a donut probe to measure your dryer. You're doing all of that.
Oh yeah, the dryer's mapped, the screens are in between 15 and 20% EOM. We've got all the exposures dialed in to a T with LTUs. We still use a single point light source. We're still old school there. We take the extra time to burn. We go the extra step with the eye image to go unidirectional instead of bidirectional to control the size of the dots instead of having them elongate. We've spent the time to hold a 2% dot all the way up to a 98% dot on an eye image. M&R, Ryan's always like, oh, see, you can hold the information if you try. You just got to document it and figure it out and use the right rip curve. It's all data and it's all spending money. Like you said, you're going to throw $10,000, $20,000 in time and investment, but the money we've saved on the back end is tenfold easily.
Right.
On the marketing side, when you look at it to promote your business, everybody's like, how do you get your name out there? Where do you spend money first? You can almost not afford to spend the money marketing these days. If you're not digital, you're dead. And it's a $10,000 investment to get a website going, to get an email marketing program going, to have a monthly Google budget going that's built correctly. And we tried every cheap way to do it. And every time we cheaped out, it cost us money. We didn't get our return on investment. Then when we finally found companies that's what they did for a living, and we paid them the astronomical amount of money up front, a $1,500 ads build fee, and say right now I pay somebody $700 a month to manage my Google accounts, and they adjust everything for me. They build my ads for me. That's what they do for a living, is build Google ads. Not something like us. We're learning how to do it. We're constantly adjusting. We get set it and forget it ads. Hey, this is working. Add a little bit more money here. Move it around. Adjust it. And we get inquiries every day that we are just leaving alone, and it works. We paid email marketing. and we tried to do it ourselves. I'm not a writer. I don't know how to write. If you want me to sell you something face to face, I'll sell it to you all day and I'll land the sale. But me writing it up and typing how to sell it to you, I'm going to fail every time. But this company does great. They get our photos. They brand it. It looks just like our website. Everything's good to go. Now we're tracking all that data. Now we've got from the Catalyst program. We know we all need to know where it's coming from. We track our phone calls. We record the phone calls. It's really changed our life on where the data is coming from. And we know where to put the money. We're not just blatantly, hey, we spent $500 on Google last month and we don't know where, what they clicked on, how they clicked on. Or we spent $1,000 on Facebook boosting random ads and we don't know where the money came from. Now we know exactly where the cost per conversion is. We know who the phone calls came from. And we know the ads are not just a bulk ad. We have 10 ads that are just for t-shirts. And you click on t-shirt and that's just one ad. So we're not paying for a bunch of random clicks and just wasting our money. We're paying for what we're asking people to click on. So we really learned the hard way, probably $20,000 in lost marketing budget that we had nowhere to understand where they were clicking on or why we've got the conversion. Now we're spending less money each month on Google ads and getting more return on our investment to the point we're ready to ramp it up and hire somebody just in to field those incoming inquiries.
Yeah, I think that's just awesome, Josh. And, you know, it's always struck me as really ironic that, you know, you see people who spend $100,000 or $150,000 for their shop, you know, presses and equipment and whatever, right? But they're trying to make it all work with a free Wix website. You know, it's just crazy talk to me, right? Just thinking about this stuff. And it's like, I don't ever understand it. And it goes along with the whole, you know, I get all of my industry information from Facebook groups. That whole thing, right?
Yeah.
I just don't understand that either, right? So call me a weird, I guess, but I just don't think that sometimes people are looking out for their best interests all the time.
I've really checked out of Facebook. We're in Shirt Lab Tribe. We're in Catalyst. I'm in Solutions Group, which is Mark's group. And then I follow Michelle's group and Beppe's virus group. That's where the real printers are at. The real printers are talking about. The printer I want to be is where those guys are at. That's the stuff where I read and I have to read 9 times to understand what the guy's actually doing. Is, you know, they're on a other level than we are.
Yeah. If you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room, right?
Right.
And it's funny how you know you're in the wrong group when you see a post that says, 100 Gildan blanks, 2 color, what you got?
Yeah.
You know, that's the wrong group to be in.
We have conversations behind the door. You're like, do you see that post? Yeah, I saw that post. You know, I got to go. Like the amount of shops, the cleanliness of the shops, you try to help those guys. Like you want to be the next generation of guys to help, but nobody's really open to listening to the help. So you go where people will help me. I help where I can, but I'll just ask for help. If you don't want my help, I'll ask for the guys. And I lean on my mentors. Call you. I call both Cordray, Sadolik, Lon, Richard. I've got a list of guys that I call when I have a problem. And you can go on there and email them. And any of those guys, call them. And they return your phone calls. And that shows a line of respect that we're worth your time to take a phone call from us and stuff like that. So that was really important to me when I was young. Y'all have got me. I've been at a lot of tables, dinners, eating dinner with y'all. And just sit down, shut up, and listen. And a lot of these younger kids, you don't always have to be talking to learn something. You can sit back, listen to the pros that run huge shops and the one ward after ward after ward, and listen how you should present yourself and present your shop. And I think I've learned more stuff sitting down at a table and listening to the older generation than I have anywhere else talking.
Exactly. Well said. Well said, Josh. Like what you hear so far? Be sure to subscribe so you can get the latest from Success Stories. And now, here's Zach Shortley with the SNS Spotlight.
On our blog, The Press, we work hard to bring you info on the latest fashion trends, business advice from your industry peers, and inspiration to help you think outside the box. Because at SNS, we believe your success is our success. It's a priority for us to find ways of bringing you the knowledge that'll help take your business to the next level. So if you're looking for ways to deliver something unique for your clients, grow or operate your business, and to learn new methods for selling products, check out The Press at press.ssactiveware.com. Thanks for listening.
So you've got these golden nuggets of information, right? How are you actually putting that to use, the action? Like, and I loved how you started this podcast with, I was at a trade show and I heard about roller frames and I bought them. And before I got home, they were already waiting for me. That is action, right?
Yes.
That's awesome, right? But that's not usually the case, right? So let's just say you're on a phone call, you're on that dinner, or you had a conversation, or you had a, you know, you called somebody up and then they told you blah, 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 whatever it is, right? How are you taking that information and actually getting it installed? And actually, here's the thing, getting your people to do it, because we all know it can't just be Josh doing everything, right? No. We got to have the folks that work for us understand and buy into it and make the mistake, because they're not going to do it right the first time, right? And not right. And feel like they have a psychological safety to make the mistake and not get yelled at, right? So how do you put that new thing, whatever it is, into IGG and get it to work?
That was a learning lesson for me as a boss to not, this is my way or the highway type deal. Yes. So you have to implement it, and you have to let them fail sometimes because they look at you like deer in headlights, because the things that I learn are over my head sometimes from much larger facilities that are much well more oiled than we are. And they've made a $100,000 mistake that they can absorb. We can't absorb a $10,000 mistake. That's detrimental to a company my size. And you have to let them fail. And then you come back and say, hey, you failed because you made this mistake. You skipped this step. And now we're here. If you would have done this step, and this step, you would have got it. And once they've made the mistake, it's a whole lot easier for me to implement what I've learned. But if it's going and they've always done it that way and it's been working, it's never easy. The steps that I'm going to involve, it makes the process more complicated, but it runs smoother once you get it figured out and it's an everyday thing. That's our biggest deal. You've got to let the employee fail and not prosecute them right there on the spot. I've learned to bring them back in the back and kind of have a one-on-one and then go talk about it as a team, come in and sit down and train. Maybe get on press and show them how I would do it. Show them how I would run the department, because I can run every department with my eyes closed. Having the confidence to train somebody how to stretch mesh correctly, you're going to pop screens. And when somebody pops a screen, they freeze. They're done. Like, they're scared to even touch it for almost a month. So you've got to kind of guide them. And I'm still learning on a daily basis on how to be a guide. So we try to implement something in each department. We used to try to implement it all at once and it was too much for everybody to handle. So we try to take baby steps. We've got maybe 10 goals for the year in each department, and we try to implement maybe one or two or three, depending on what we're implementing in each department. And sometimes it works great and sometimes it implodes on itself. But three departments might run good, one department might need work. And then you start seeing bottlenecks, you start seeing things that worked at their shop but need to be tweaked to work here. So write down what you made mistakes, lose some sleep over it, you know, keep driving past your exit on the highway because you're working in your head, trying to fix the problem, all those things. So that's kind of how we implement things here.
I've done that. And like, where am I?
Yeah.
You know, I really like what you said. And one of the things that I've kind of championed over the years is that, you know, learning this industry is kind of like driving a car. Like, you remember back when you were 15, right? And yep. Your dad or some, your uncle or whoever taught you to drive, right? You can read a book, you can watch a video, you can have a conversation, but the only way to learn to drive a car is get behind the wheel and drive the car, right?
Yeah.
So the only way to learn how to stretch a screen or mix an ink or run a press or, you know, make a Facebook ad or whatever, right?
Yep.
Is to actually do it. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, let's just get out of the way, you know, early. Hey, you might hit the curb with the tire. You might like drive weird or go around the corner too fast and have to overcorrect. And, or, you know, here's the thing, you're stretching screens. let's go ahead and let's stretch the screen and let's just pop it on purpose and get it out of the way. And that way, let's not freak out about it when it happens.
Yeah.
And so it's like, let's talk about what's going to happen and give them the safety they need to say, you know what, that is a mistake. You know, if it happens, you know, because what you want to do when you're driving a car, you don't want to overcorrect the turn and now you're into the tree the other way, right? So what happens if this happens? And let's practice it a little bit, right? And so I think if you talk about the danger sometimes and even like show them, hey, let's try to make that happen. And so we learn what not to do, right? Sometimes that's like the best thing almost, right? When there is a problem and there is a mistake, we can correct that. And another way of doing it is to use the phrase, you know, help me understand, right? So somebody made a mistake, you say, help me understand why this is a big issue, right? So Mark Coudray taught me that like forever ago, right? Help me understand why this is a problem, which is a non-confrontational way of talking with an employee and going, hey, I just want to learn what happened here, right? I'm not saying you're a dummy. I'm not saying you're worthless or, you know, sometimes when mistakes happen, you get this crazy look on your face, not you, but in general, right? Yeah. So it's just help me understand. I want to learn what happened here. Oh yeah, you skipped step four. That's what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Now I tell the new employees, we got the freshman 1500. I expect you to make $1,500 worth of mistakes in your first 90 days. That's why you're on 90 day probation. It's going to cost us money. We're going to have misprints. And it's not only misprints, it's lost time. You're learning. We're going to have to slow the process down and not make a profit that day because we had to shut the afternoon down and train. It just is what it is. And once you think you'll be a little bit more comfortable, like I'm understanding that you're going to cost me money to train. But once I train you from the ground up and you get it right, you're going to do it right every time. It's just going to become second nature to you. They fry squeegees in the chemicals all the time. The new kids always fry a squeegee because they don't get the 701 off it fast enough. They freak out. And I'm like, it's money, but it's just a squeegee. Did you learn the lesson? Do you understand how fast you have to get the chemical off? You know, did you clean out your bucket and put fresh water in today? No, that's yesterday's water. Well, there's your problem, that the chemical just sets on top and it's got to be fresh water every day. And there's these little things like that. Then they become self-sufficient and you don't even have to ask them anymore. They just come in and start getting to work. That's the best feeling, that you know you taught them nothing to where they're at now. And now you trust them, give them the attaboys and say, hey, you're doing good. You're making mistakes here. I've kind of learned being a coach and a little league baseball coach. You give them some attaboys at first, and then you break them down. You make them feel good and then tell them what they need to work on and go from there. You can't just constantly tell them what they're doing bad. You got to tell them what they're good too. So
we'll do the correction sandwich, right? It's positive, negative, positive.
Yes. Yes. So keep up the good work and you need to fix these three things too. So,
all right. So let's wind up here and let's talk about the future. So I know from having conversations with you over the years, there's been some thought about doing some printing in non-textile area, which is really interesting to me, and really doing some work with prototyping. And I know Ray Greenwood was helping with that, right? So talk about that and why you guys are eyeballing that, because I think that's kind of interesting.
Well, because you always have your ups and downs in our industry. You have slow times and busy times in our industry. It's a fact. You have two slow periods in the year and the rest of the time we're humping. But in the manufacturing side, there's no slow times. Manufacturing is constantly happening. And the big manufacturing shops don't have time to R&D. They're too busy producing. So they find other shops that can control all the aspects and give them a recipe. Well, I never even thought about it. Most of the screen print shops don't even think that they screen print other things besides t-shirts or posters. But when I met Ray and had him come in and look at our screens because we were having some stretching issues, he was so how clean the shop is, how uniform everything is on the environment, how everything is documented, how we have all the tools to measure everything. We have that R&D mentality. So we've already done all the R&D on our t-shirt side. That's all these other companies are looking for. They're looking for a recipe. So they're printing a keyboard or they're printing a sock that has ridges on it, or they're printing an imprint, a pad for 3M that needs a recipe. It needs to be this thick. We need to know how much emulsion. We need to know how much ink you put down. We need to know how long it took to cure the screen to produce this product. And they're willing to pay for that data because they don't have the time to stop their presses to do that kind of information. And you wouldn't believe the amount of shops that still don't do the time to do the R&D. Well, I'm sure you do understand the amount of shops. But when you go to Ray's side, that guy is on a whole nother level than most guys when it comes to screens. And it's fun to talk back and forth and just listen to him talk. Because then you start talking about RZ values and how the mesh reacts under high tension, how things shear out of screens. That's really taken us to another level. And then you start talking, we have, say, our most expensive ink is $500 for a gallon of pigment. You know, that's our most expensive ink we have. Some of their inks are $500 a quart, you know, for some of the electronic inks. So we would be so excited. We have a clean shop, but to take it to that level would be the next location, adding on to this shop and making a clean room, because you have to provide dust-free. You have to be static-free for all these stuff. But filling out the recipe, we have it already. So it really just be changing substrates, changing tensions, changing to the mesh counts they require, and getting it going. And you could be R&D-ing something over in the side, making a whole lot of money, and pretty much you're just playing. You're having fun. That would be so much fun to me, is being able to play in the side and, you know, have it as your HD department, your special effects department, whatever you're not doing at the time. You're just kind of playing over in the corner and making money at it too. So paying for your R&D department. And you wouldn't even have to do constant jobs. You could do 5 jobs a year in that department and pay for it. So
it's just so awesome to you thinking about this. And remember, right, 5 years ago, you guys were barely doing anything.
Yeah.
What a journey. What, I mean, can you imagine 5 years ago somebody saying, hey, you could be doing R&D for the electronics industry?
Right.
You would have said, you're crazy. Yeah.
Now we're doing a 9-color bag for shop shirts for fun. You know, that's what we're looking at. So,
yeah, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. So anyway, Josh, thank you so much for sharing your story of success with us today. If someone wants to learn more about what you do or how you could help them, what's the best way to contact you?
Man, you can reach out to us on Facebook. You can reach out to us on our website. There's direct contacts there. You can always call the shop at 405-295-1669. You can email me at josh@idgsp.com. And I'd be glad to help you with anything and point you in the right direction if I can't do it for you.
All right. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time today. It was really good talking with you, and catch you later.
You as well. Thank you for having me.
Well, that's our show today. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest Success Stories episodes. Have any suggestions for future guests or topics? Send them my way at marshall@marshallatkinson.com, and we'll see you next time.